Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Atira. I want to make sure that you have our new phone-in number. It's 1-877-876-5227. I also want to take a moment to thank Don in our control room. He's the voice behind everything and the magic fingers on the buttons, and I really, really appreciate all the work that he does for BBS Radio to keep us on the airwaves. Last week, we were talking about, Mary Ellen was my guest, and we talked about manifesting things we want and how to make things come into our lives, you know, give the spiritual realm a little cosmic push in the direction we would like to see happen, and how sometimes things manifest, not exactly like perhaps we put out to the universe, but certainly sometimes for our highest good, and how exciting it is when we start seeing those manifestations come into fruition. And we had a caller in last week, which I want to pursue a little bit about. She called in and she was having health problems. She was dealing with fibromyalgia. And I wanted to talk a few minutes about the book I recommended because I had tons and tons of emails about it. So Louise Hay and Hay House has been around metaphysics before metaphysics was cool. She wrote a book that is an all-time bestseller. It's still absolutely probably one of my highest recommended books. And it's called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hayes. It was actually published in 1982. And her companion book, within that book, You Can Heal Your Life, is also in the back part what we have called the You Can Heal Your Body part of this book. And then later in that same year, she actually printed that part of the book, You Can Heal Your Life, in a small little book version by itself. It's a little blue book, and it's an incredible book because it talks about the mental causes for physical illnesses, and it's like very amazing. It's so amazing. It's pretty almost always 100% accurate, so it's an amazing opportunity to get some health things taken care of by looking at what is our mental cause for it, and where do we repeat, you know. A short while ago, I was in a workshop with G.W. Harden, and there was a lovely man talking. His name is Craig, and he's from Portland, so I hope he's listening. And he started to talk about the BS in our life, and it stands for belief systems. And, you know, it is true. We get caught up in our belief systems, and that's one thing Louise Hay's work has really affected, saying, you know, you can get caught up with your childhood belief systems, your parents' belief systems, your society belief systems, but you can wake up one morning and change those. And so consciously learning to change it through affirmations. And in fact, she used those affirmations to change her life and to save her life from cancer. So she has this interesting little thing that she's recently started. She's recently started a Louise Hay's newsletter, which is wonderful. But she talks about the 12 commandments on how to love yourself. And so I wanted to share these 12 little short statements with you this afternoon on the show, because I really think that we forget to think about some things sometimes and how much responsibility we as spiritual beings have to take for the things we create. So the first commandment is stop all criticism. Criticism never changes anything. Refuse to criticize yourself or others. Accept yourself exactly as you are. Everybody can change, and when you criticize yourself, you are energizing your negative energy in your body and certainly begin to create health issues. And when you start approving of yourself, your changes are positive and you start changing things and your very core being. The second commandment is to forgive yourself. Let go of the past. You're the best you could at the time with the understanding and awareness that you had and the knowledge you had. And it says now you are growing and changing and you can learn to live differently. And it's true, it takes time to kind of break the pattern. So, you know, don't be hard on yourself when you start trying anything. It takes 60 to 90 days to give up a habit. So don't be hard on yourself. Give yourself a chance. The third commandment is don't scare yourself. It's interesting. We tend to terrorize ourselves often, so it's to stop terrorizing yourself with your thoughts. It's a dreadful way to live. Find a mental image that gives you pleasure and immediately switch your when you're in fear from fear to thinking about something positive, something pleasurable, something that's happy in your life. And I know for a lot of people that's very difficult. A lot of people have had very traumatic childhoods, either living with alcoholics or drug abuse or sexual abuse. So sometimes, you know, it's very hard. I've had a lot of people say, well, you know, think about how a mother loves you. Well, you know, some people's mother didn't love them. Some people's mother had addictions or problems that they really didn't know how to be a mom, and sometimes that's, you know, transferred generation after generation. So really, we have to find things that make us happy, and for some people it takes a while to find a happy thought. In Peter Pan, you'll remember, think happy thoughts and you can fly. Well, it takes a while sometimes to find our happy thoughts or create new happy thoughts for ourselves. So be kind to yourself. The fourth one is be gentle and kind and patient. The very thing I said. And being gentle with yourself and kind is something sometimes, again, that takes a little time. Being patient with yourself as you learn the new ways of thinking. Treat yourself as you would you would treat someone else you really love. And, you know, sometimes we treat everybody around us kinder, more loving than we treat ourselves. Often I find it with my clients and with people I know, they're last on their list. The fifth one is be kind to your mind. Self-hatred is only hating your own thoughts. Often I'll hear people say, oh, why did I say that? Why did I think that? You know, thoughts run through our mind. We get trapped in old patterns. It takes time. Don't hate yourself for having the thoughts. Gently change your thoughts and gently be kind to yourself. Sixth is praise yourself. Criticism breaks down the inner spirit. Praise builds it up. Praise yourself as you can, slowly, sometimes. Tell yourself how well you are doing and that every moment is a step in the right direction. Seven is support yourself. Find ways to support yourself. Reach out to friends. Allow them to help you. It is being strong to ask for help. It isn't being needy. And I think there's a fine line in that, and you have to learn about that. But I really find the people that are very busy beating themselves up don't even know how to receive a compliment, a kindness. They really have a hard time. They're so busy carrying a cosmic first aid box often and helping others, they don't know how to receive. And I have been guilty of this. I wish I could say I wasn't. But sometimes it's very hard for me to ask people for help. And over the last, I would say, 10 years, I've had Spirit be very helpful with that. And I know that I have two or three very talented healers. Monty, if you're out there, thank you. And Sid, thank you. Often I'll have the courage to say, you know what, I could call these healers that are great healers and say, could you send me some energy? Could you do some healing work on me? And they've been very much a blessing in my life. So remember, sometimes asking for help is a gift from God, and it's also allowing others to do and have the joy of giving to you. Number eight is be loving to your negativities. Acknowledge that you create them to fulfill a need. Now you are finding new positive ways to fulfill those needs. So lovingly release the old negative patterns. So I tell my clients, when your negative thought comes up, say, thank you for reminding me, that's my old pattern, but I consciously choose something different. And so sometimes we just have to let those negative thoughts pass through and move to the understanding that, you know, it takes time to change patterns. Nine, take care of your body. Learn about nutrition. What kinds of fuel does it take in order to keep your body in optimum order? I think that wonderful book, Eat Right for Your Blood Type, is an amazing book. It's one of those that just gives you lots of things to learn that everybody's different and what works for one person does not necessarily work for another. And learning to exercise. Now, this is one thing that Mary Ellen Angel Scribe is always all about. That girl has enough energy to run around the block about four times. And I am not. I'm the slow kind of tourist that plods along. So my version of exercise is different, but it's true. We do all need to exercise. What kind of exercise do you enjoy? What makes you happy? You know, all the exercises build endorphins and teach your body to kind of move the fluids in your body. So for some people, it will be not even jumping on a trampoline, but just walking slowly around a trampoline. But, you know, there's so many wonderful kinds of exercise. Exercise that great muscle on your face. Smile more often. You know, I think people really forget to smile. I know, often I think I'm smiling and beaming away, and I've had people say, you look like you were concentrating so hard. And I do. I get caught up sometimes when I'm watching something magnificent or beautiful or listening intensely to somebody, and I actually have a pensive face, and I don't know it because inside I'm beaming like a lighthouse. But sometimes, you know, we forget to smile, so exercise that muscle. 10 is mirror work. Looking into your eyes often, express this growing sense of love for yourself. Forgive yourself while you're looking in the mirror. Talk to your parents while you're looking into the mirror. Forgive them. At least once a day, say, I love you, and really mean it to yourself and to others. Now, I think really this is a great exercise. I also really encourage people to use a technique I learned a long time ago from my guides, and that is to light a little votive candle and put the person that you want to forgive's name on it. And as you light it in a very safe place, walk by it. Every time you walk by it, say, I forgive the ignorance of you not knowing better. You can't maybe forgive the act if you've been abused or verbally abused or been the subject of physical abuse. But you can forgive their ignorance and know that you are not going to continue that victimhood. Do not give them that power to ruin your life, all your life, for that time that they victimized you. And this cuts the ties often so that the releases the karma between you and that person. And so it's a wonderful technique. And it may take a few candles to get rid of it and some exercises and some good counseling, but you do not have to hold on to those things that have harmed you all your life. 11, love yourself. Do it now. Don't wait until you get well or lose the weight or get the right job or find the new relationship. Begin right now loving yourself at a very core level. And it's true. People say, well, I'll do such and such when I get the right job, when I get the money, whenever. When woulda, shoulda, coulda doesn't always work. Sometimes we need to be in the now. And the 12th one is have fun. Remember the things that gave you great joy as a child. Incorporate them into your life now. Find ways to find things that are fun, that make you let go, that make you laugh and have joy. Rejoice in that you are alive in this moment. I really think it's very important when you look around at in this moment of how many people are passing due to illnesses, especially cancer, to really appreciate people. I really make it a rule to really try and call people I care about every week and say, hello, I love you, even if I only have a moment, or email them. Keep in touch however it is. Don't lose those moments. If you have lost somebody, if you have lost them and got busy with your life and lost touch with them, get in touch with them. I just had a family reunion. We haven't had one in many, many years. And my dad was one of 13, so there's a lot of aunts and uncles, and I think there's, out of 13, there's 9 living. And I realized that, you know, I was not writing the letters like I used to. And one of my aunts said, I miss your letters. They're so funny. And I thought, you know what? I'm sorry. She's 84. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to make it a new thing in my life to go back and at least write one letter to her a month and find something fun in my life or some funny thing, remembrance or something, to send to her. Because at 84, she really misses that. And it was important to me because I love her that I realized I missed that contact too. So the good thing is I have a computer so I can make it big font for her. So take the time to tell people that you love them, that you want to spend energy with them and share your energy and remember wonderful things. I have to tell you, I remembered how embarrassing it is to go to a reunion because all your aunts and uncles remember all the things you did as a kid. So you get cosmically busted. We laughed and laughed and laughed. And it's so fun because I love that I have a sense of humor about it. So Hay House, you can find out more about her newsletter at www.hayhouse.com or www.louisehay.com. So you can get more about this wonderful newsletter. So hopefully that answers some of the questions from the email of last week. I really love the emails that I get from the people that are listening. So please email our website, which is www.angelscribe.com, if you have a subject you want to cover, if you have an author or someone that you want us to interview and communicate with, we would be pleased to hear from you. Today's show I really want to make about you, my listeners, so I'm going to give you the number again at 1-877-876-5227 to call in if you have questions about dreams, question about anything that's been going on, or if you want a little meeting reading, I'll certainly try and open the airways for that as well. Last week, and the last two radio shows, we have talked a little bit about books that are available for young people. I've had a lot of people talking about their Indigo and Crystal Kids, since the Indigo movies come out. There's also the book called Indigo Rising by G.W. Harden that's out, as well as my understanding is there is a new one out by Lee Carroll on Indigos and Crystal Kids, as well as the new Rainbow Kids that everybody's talking about. So, and if some of you saw the primetime special on Adam, which is a young man who is a psychic healer out of Canada, he's been doing it, I think, since he was about 14 years old, and primetime had a whole special on him. And so he has a book out. Unfortunately, I apologize, I do not have it, but I think if you type Adam in or go to primetime, they'll have more information about him. But they're starting to do some scientific tests and lots of documentary on his healing ability. So it's very exciting seeing all these very talented young people come up and affect, you know, the tomorrows and let it be so normal to use their gifts in very powerful ways. So I talked a little bit last week about the series of books by Ted Andrews, so that you can get them and look at them online, or look at the information about them at www.dragonhawkpublishing.com. He has written what I love. I mean, where was this series when I was a kid? And I'm sure all of us got the chance to go to Hogwarts for the Harry Potter series, these books would be used at that school. I think there's a series of 10 books, approximately 10 books in the series. What I like about this series of books is it has a preface. It has a word to the parents and students. It talks to the parents about what this book is and isn't. It takes all the spookiness out of it. It doesn't make it frightening and scary and always this magic and all of that. But it does leave the magic of believing in the books for the parents as well as the children. I like also that it talks about where the origin of some of the things that are discussed in these books. And some of the volumes are The Magic of Believing, The Psychic Power, Dream Magic, Star Magic, Spirits, Ghosts, Guardians, Fairy Charms, Healing Arts, Divination and Scrying, Word Magic, and Ancient Powers. So what is amazing about the books is that it has it talks about things like what's under the bed making noise that might be frightening. It takes the fear out of that. It takes the fear out of what's in the closet. It talks about those being between places. It actually tells you how to work with your child on some of the projects that he gives in here to talk about how to have, like, fairy gardens, how to do meditation for young children, trips that you can take together, things that you can create together. So it's really encouraging time to be shared by the parent and child. And I think we could all use a little more magic in our life. And so when it's talking, when he talks in his books about bringing the magic back into things, and he also really talks about a lot of folklore and what that has to do with things that you may have read about fairies and merpeople and just the magic realm in many ways, and so it gives you time to create time and memories with your children. It teaches you actually to make spiritual scrapbooks that are memories of you and your children and so many things. So it's one of probably, and it also teaches not to be afraid. And one little part in here, he talks about magical between times and places. And between times are neither one time or another. They are in between. For example, dawn and dusk are two of the most magical times of the day. Dawn is neither day or night. And so there's lots of wonderful things that talks about here to bring you in the opportunity of sharing things and understanding things.
Tira?
Yes.
Did you want to take calls? Normally you don't take it for the first.
Absolutely. I'll take them. That's fine.
Okay. I'll put one on.
You bet.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. How are you this evening?
I'm fabulous. So, name and where you're calling from.
My name is Julia, and I'm calling from Maryland.
Hello, Julia from Maryland. Well, okay, question.
Well, you said that we could ask for just like a mini personal reading.
Sure.
I've got my 45th birthday coming in a couple weeks, and I was hoping for just a brief birthday reading.
All right. Let me tune in for a sec here, and let me see what I get. The first thing they say is that this is a time of new doors opening for you, so there's some change coming. And as much in a way you think you want it, you kind of got your foot on the door, hon.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd move my foot and open it wide because it's a good thing. It's a good shift for you. They also talk about that you're letting go of some things that have held you back. So it's sort of a little bit of cleaning your cosmic basement to let the new in. Do you understand what I'm saying?
It's a little vague.
It means that I would like you to sit down and hang out with you. I don't think you've done that for a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So sort of take and do this and say, who am I today? What do I really want? It's almost like for you, you need some new joy.
Yes.
That you got caught up in a lot of gotta have to's. And so it's a time where you need to kind of let go of that. So how soon is your birthday?
September 16th.
Yeah, I feel like about 5 days after your birthday is when things kind of bust open for you, hon. So enjoy that birthday. Let the new stuff begin. And also, they also talk about a move. But I think this is an emotional move rather than physical.
Okay.
Okay. And they also say some things are changing around what you do for a living. What do you do for a living?
I'm not working right now, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's new beginnings.
Oh, good.
Whatever you do, whatever you had done, there's a change about that, and it's a whole new beginning. And so let yourself have it, hon. You've been sort of stuck.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's like taking the chewing gum off the shoes and running. So it's a good thing. So let yourself have it. It's all about kind of getting unstuck for you right now.
Oh,
and
good.
So, you know, let the birthday celebration be letting go and closure. That way you can have the new beginning. So sometimes we trip ourselves up by not letting go.
Sounds good.
Okay, have a great birthday.
Thank
blessings,
you very
son.
Much. Blessings
Bye-bye.
To you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Absolutely. So, if you have other questions or you want a little mini reading, again, the number is 1-877-876-5227. And until I hear Dawn's sweet voice again, I'm going to talk a little more about another book that I've really found amazing. And that was fast. Hello.
Hi, Tara.
Hello.
This is Nancy from Washington State.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm doing good. And you?
I'm fabulous. How you doing?
Absolutely great.
Good. Sounds it. Question.
I wanted a mini reading.
Okay, Nancy, did you call last week, too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was the one with the fibromyalgia.
Well, I kind of really answered you in the beginning of the show, so I hope you were listening.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's really important. It's really for you, again, kind of getting into the energy of not feeling stuck. Fibromyalgia is really a thing that really makes you feel stuck in your body, and it also makes you really pay attention to your body. So one of the things they really say is start to relax and feel safe and start being a little more flexible for yourself. The other thing Spirit says about you is that you are you just getting over some grieving, honey?
Yeah, my father-in-law passed away 4 weeks ago, and my mother passed away 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because they're saying that it's just you're a little overwhelmed here. So there's a wonderful book you can get, and it's called Healing Grief by James Van Praagh. If you have not read that book, it's going to kind of help you through this.
Uh-huh.
It's like when you get two on top of each other, you know, the stress level goes up.
Uh-huh.
So you're just going, you know,
yeah,
you need
yeah.
not to. And so I really want to give you some tools that can kind of help you deal with that level of it. And James is, I mean, he's written it so well, I can't even beat him. So that's going to help you move forward, hon. You really
okay.
got about 2 months of feeling a little overwhelmed, and then things really clear up, Nancy, and you're going to be happy, okay?
Awesome.
Okay, girl.
Thank you.
Take care. Blessings, darling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. For anyone that's going through grief, I have to really recommend it, James Hantprand. Van Praagh's book, Healing Grief. It really, and it's grief not just of loss of people and animal, jobs, anything that you have really dealt with losing. Sometimes that stuff takes us down and we need time to recover from it. So before I got the last call, though, there's this, talking of James, he wrote a book that I can't say enough about. If you have teenagers, God knows it's hard enough to figure out what's going on with them in the beginning, when they hit that whole puberty thing. And there's two wonderful books I recommend. One is this book, Looking Beyond, A Teenage Guide to the Spiritual World. I have to tell you, I know this is written for teenagers, but when I read it, I just loved it. It's illustrated in a great way. Whoever did the illustrations in here, they have a great sense of humor. And what I really like, too, about it is it helps people learn to be spiritually responsible. You know, sometimes when we get metaphysical and get the ahas, we forget our basic homework, and that is to be responsible for our actions in every moment. And we get caught up in asking Spirit to kind of run interference for us. And although our spirit guides are there to help us and certainly kind of help us track, we still are responsible for fulfilling our life and our destiny in this plane. And so kind of be aware that sometimes we kind of like give up our reins and say, well, I gave it up to Spirit and leave it at that. You know, we're still part of that manifestation and co-creation. And so kind of remember that, you know, there's still spiritual responsibility on the plane. This book, I cannot say enough good things about it. It is just amazing. And it's that sometimes we have to, in his book, he does talk about taking reality checks. Let's look closer at what we mean by being irresponsible, of being, you know, in our life. And all through here, he talks about reality checks, you know, checking in. Am I trusting my gut feeling? Am I listening to myself? Am I listening to the ego mind? What's driving, you know, my desire? If teenagers who are always interested in that boy over there or that girl over there, am I interested in them for the right reason? Is it just an ego thing because they're popular and everybody's interested in them? Is it really, you know, I have a real core interest here, and am I interested in them for the right thing? So really, sometimes we have to just discern and pay attention to what am I feeling in my gut, what am I sensing in this moment. And this book teaches some really good core basic things for everybody. Then the other book I really love for the young ladies who are turning into their teenage years is Don't Give It Away by Van Zandt. It's a workbook for self-awareness for young women and affirmations. And what I suggest mothers out there who have young ladies who are turning, you know, they're 13 going on 26 now these days. It's so frightening. But when they start getting interested in and not getting so they won't talk to you and all of a sudden mom doesn't know anything, this book is such a wonderful gift. But personalize it. Take the time to put some pictures in it. You know, with you and her that says, you know, I remember the times when we shared things. I remember being a young lady at that age, you know, I get where you are. It's a workbook, and I wish they would do one for young men, but they don't. But this book is so helpful. It has amazing little survival kits that you can make for your young ladies, so when they're in that moment that they don't feel they can come to you, they can go to this little survival kit. But personalize it, put pictures in it, make it, you know, very, very personal. These are wonderful tools when dealing with these young kids who are so intense. Kids nowadays are so much more, you know, sensitive and aware, and even though every time they hit teenagers, you know, you can't talk to them, and you can't half the time figure out what they say because they've got their own language, you know, we really have to still stay in contact and in communication. So sometimes we have to learn new ways, you know. Sending your kid emails works, you know. Get into their head, get into their world. Pay attention to what's going on. It's a lot of work, but it's worth it. It's the best work in your life. So I hope that I've given you some new tools. I have to say I love that there are new age books. And then Illuminary Arts also puts out, Illuminary Arts. It's a wonderful one that's just about children's books for young kids that are metaphysical books. They're all teaching books. I love them. Hopefully I will be able to interview John Thompson, the publicist of that company, and in the next few weeks and have him on. So if you have kids, grandkids, you're looking for the right books, you're trying to understand how to help them, pay attention, and we'll have him on, I hope, and be able to enlighten you and give you more tools. And so the other thing that we started to talk about a little bit, and I was hoping that Lori would call in about this, is the No Child Left Behind thing that was enacted by the president. Please, if you have grandkids or kids in school, please find out more about this. I'm going to really make you metaphysically responsible, because this No Kid Left Behind sounds like a great deal. But the more I find out about it through talking with teachers, PTA, school systems, it really has turned out not to be. It really actually ties the hands of many gifted counselors, teachers. If your teacher's out there in the airwaves and you know about this and you have a comment on it, please call in at 1-877-876-5227. I'd love to hear your opinion on this subject, because I really think, unfortunately, we need to go a little bit back to having time with our kids, putting in some hours. I know it's hard because it takes two parents anymore to run a household and work, but if we want these kids to be the kids of tomorrow, to change the world and be able to help us, we need to really make sure that they can do well in school, that they understand. And I know it's difficult because a lot of us don't have the skills. I mean, when I actually wound up, I had a niece who had problems in school, and so I wound up having actually going to school with her for a while. And I had been out of high school a long time, and she didn't believe I'd do it, and so I said, well, nope, I'll do it. If it takes me going every day with you and sitting in class, you know, I'll do it. And so I wound up, I think, almost probably 3 weeks going with her, and then she straightened out her act, and I didn't have to go anymore. But it was very enlightening to go back to high school and sit in the room with her and listen to what the teachers were teaching and look at the school books. So it's amazing. If you are retired and you have time to mentor one student, please don't get caught up. I'm dyslexic. I'm not a good reader, and I'm a terrible speller. But you know what? Just sitting and spending time, let them read to you. Let them put the time in with you. It's sometimes just knowing that there's somebody there that cares and sitting and having time. I really notice that we are getting to be sort of a lax society. You know, we let the TV entertain our kids. We let the Game Boys entertain our kids. We let the computer entertain our kids. I mean, when the neighbor across the street told me that their 5-year-old had to have time on the computer because it's required in kindergarten, I flipped out. I said, what? You know, and I have to tell you, I've seen 3- and 5-year-olds that are better at the computer than I am. It's almost like unnerving. And I know they have to have those skills, but I also really know they need people skills. People skills are getting lost in the mix of this. and people, kids, especially kids, teenage kids, young kids, are getting very introverted because their time is being on the computers, on these devices, rather than learning how to interact with people. So we need to help the kids have people skills. And if you're a person that doesn't have people skills, it's hard to teach that. So sometimes it's actually a gift to you because you can learn together to have people skills, to have game night at your house and stuff too. And there's some wonderful new games coming out with that you can do that are metaphysical games. I know that Doreen Virtue actually has an angel board out, and that has angel boards and cards and things that you can do and use as a tool too. So there's lots of creative ways to take your children back in. Have some good spiritual growth time for you and them. Also, taking your kids to meditation class. I know a lot of people go like, oh, you know, kids can't sit still. But I do notice that they are actually teaching some basic classes now in our local community center that are for de-stressing and for kids. And so it's better to take your kid to a class like that, even if they can't make it through the whole class, and start learning those skills and putting them on Ritalin and those drugs that unfortunately have become so popular. So we are learning as adults to start having skills to help our children in the next generation. And I really see, too, that a lot of grandparents, I really want to give grandparents a plug here because, you know, I really see amazing amount of grandparents raising their grandchildren. For many reasons, I think certainly the divorce rate is high in our society, and so a lot of grandparents are taking over, you know, saving the parents from having to pay this high cost of daycare, and so grandparents are involved in that way. But also, a lot of people have lost their children to the drug world and the drug addictions in this society, and so. Unfortunately, have wound up, you know, teaching and taking care of the next generation. Excuse me. And these kids are, the grandparents, I'm really finding, they're finding an inner strength. They're finding that they have skills they maybe did not have when they were younger, raising their kids, working so hard, so that the grandkids are sometimes reaping the benefit that their kids didn't. And they're learning to have... learning new skills, taking the time to go to libraries, all these things. There's so much that's got on the internet now that, you know, you can almost go on the internet and read any book you ever wanted to. So people are almost making libraries extinct. I hope that never happens because a library is a great resource for storytelling. Storytelling is an incredible art form, and Ted Andrews is one of the most magnificent storytellers. If you could ever go hear him talk, he does even in his local community work and do storytelling at his local library. So if you are a person that has a gifted voice, I love people. There's several people. Tonio Trupiano used to do radio for many years, has a wonderful radio voice. And so when he lends his voice to storytelling and things, it's a wonderful experience for kids and adults. And also taking your children to museums, to different kinds of things where you can interact with them. The more we can get our mind expanded, especially for indigos, crystals, and these amazing kids, and if you don't know what the indigos are, I really guess I should explain that. Indigos came in, most of them are in their late 20s now. They came in and they were more open, more aware. They are kids who ask why a lot forever, not just at 3 years old or 5 years old. And they really were a little more sensitive to about what was going on in our world and got very, unfortunately, kind of very angry about how we had somewhat mistreated the world, the trees and the environment, and they seemed to have a voice in that. Then the indigo, crystal kids came along, and the crystal kids are, I would say, probably the oldest one is going to be 17, 18 years old, maybe even a little younger, and that those kids are very much, again, very psychic, very aware, very open to things, but don't necessarily have the anger of the Indigo kids. They're going, okay, we got that people screw things up, but, you know, it's okay. We're going to work towards the answer. They're very poetic. They're very sensitive. They're very creative. They're very musically inclined. The Indigos are a little more shaker movers, very much into business, very much into leading edge things. We're trying to figure everything out. The other ones are a little more peacemakers. And the Rainbows seem to be a combination of both Indigos and Crystals. They have a little more patience with the world, but they're really focusing on let's get things changed, let's save the environment. I think Mr. DiCaprio is one of the leading kids of Indigos without the anger, who definitely, again, is an environmentalist, drives one of the eco cars, you know, the cars that save the environment, the green cars, I guess they call them. And so there are a lot of those Indigos and some of the Crystals that are maturing now and really starting to affect the world, government, and all over. So we're in a time of great change, and I really encourage people who are raising these kinds of kids, you know, I know some of them, they're so busy. They're like so busy. There's so much energy in these kids that a lot of times they got misdiagnosed and put on Ritalin and different things. And certainly don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that there isn't a place for those drugs. There are, and certainly some kids do need them. But we also need to learn coping tools to help the parents and to help the teachers in how we handle and do with these new kids. Learning how to see how the kids think is a very much big thing to kind of watch, see how they come to conclusions, because I'm finding that a lot of these young kids that are so sensitive, they're interested in what color the teacher's aura is and, you know, what's going on and, you know, how is the class, sensing how the class is today, being affected by the energy around them. They don't know to discern. Is it, you know, is it something that's going on with them or, you know, somebody else in class? So helping them learn to discern, is this about you or is this about something else? We don't want to shut down those wonderful gifts that are going to lead to the next mediums, psychic, clairvoyance, and the future politicians, I hope, of the world. And the communication level that these kids are developing, it's really wonderful. And then also I do think that this drug society that has really become full-blown a problem to everybody in the world, that's going to start changing in the year 2007 to 2012. It's interesting to me that lately I've heard so much from many, many other clairvoyants and psychic of the world. I started getting a lot of channeled messages from myself, from other clairvoyants and things that we are in from 2007 to 2012 going to see a dramatic shift in our consciousness of the world. And some of the things that have been absolute blights for us, talking about illnesses, cancer, AIDS, the drug situation, there's going to be some amazing shifts in that whole scenario that's going on. I hope that some of you, most of us don't watch the news anymore, but I did hear that Bill Gates was talking about some new thing that's going to hopefully help stop the spread of AIDS in the world. And so I think there's some tremendous breakthroughs and some tremendous prophecies that have been prophesized over the last 10 years that are going to start coming into fruition so that we see a dramatic change in our universe and our world. And it's an exciting time to be alive and to be part of that. So helping to create the future by mentoring these children, I think, is going to become so important. And taking the time to pay attention to this. I know I have a lot of clients that have just become new parents. Some their first children, some their second or third children. And they are taking their responsibility as parents so seriously. It's exciting. They are really trying to bring up these children and being conscious that these babies are aware before they even come in and teaching them love. And some of these are working parents, and I think it's very hard, especially for a mom. You know, I grew up in a generation where my mother didn't work. She was a stay-at-home mom, and I think now it takes a lot of courage to be a stay-at-home mom. People, you know, are very critical of stay-at-home moms. I think, God, it's one of the most honoring professions, and it's hard because not, you know, most people don't have the luxury of that anymore. And being at a working mom is a double thing. I think that it's very hard to juggle a career and be a mom and go through the whole pregnancy thing because it's not a walk in the park. And I think that men are becoming more sensitive to how hard it is. I actually love that where the parent, there was a show for a while where the father had to take care of the kids. You know, he would be like griping at his wife or, you know, I don't understand how you come you can't control these kids and da da da. And you know, by 4 hours with them, they were screaming uncle. You know, it's not as easy as it appears. And yet the mothers, you know, could, you know, clean the house, take care of the kids, do the laundry and just, you know, perform all these things and keep the kids entertained and still put dinner on the table at 5 o'clock. So there's all these interesting dichotomies that are going on as we move through how to manage our lives and go forward. And I think that, too, one of the reasons we're seeing women with more physical ailments is because they are taking all this so much to heart, trying to be the end-all, be-all, because they're now trying to be the breadwinner and the mother and all this other things. And there's, you know, there it's a lot because they it's hard to release your child to school. I can remember my mother said that one of the hardest things she ever did was let me go to school and let me get married. It was very, very hard on her. And I think it is. I think that, you know, when you have your child around you and you're the responsibility for the bringing them up and educating them, putting the energy in, that when you release them to the system and they're out of your sight, it's very frightening. And how do you maintain your ideas of morals and ideals, home morals and family morals and family upbringing and what your right and wrong is, and then you release them into this, you know, unknown world where the teacher has them all this time and they have to learn how to play with others differently. They have to learn to communicate on their own. They start changing, and it's very traumatic, I think, for parents. So as you are a parent, any time you can spend with your child is absolutely so important, so precious to learn. And also think about your life. What are the things in your life that you didn't like? Perhaps, you know, you were taught something as a child that you don't like, or you had an issue with your parents. Think about things that you don't like, you know, that you don't like to be bullied at work or in your environment in any way. You don't like to be judged. You don't like to be criticized. Think about how you are acting when you're communicating with your children. Is the first thing you see what is it what you see is what they do wrong? Or do you praise them? Do you see the first thing they do is right? What is the first thing that's right? And then gently tell them maybe they want to change something slowly. I think it's really interesting that sometimes we repeat mistakes that we learned oh so well because our parents were critical. I actually was terrorized from a very young age of red pens. I hate red pens today because I'm dyslexic, and I would study so hard. I would try so hard to spell things right. I must have spent so much time with my spelling book. It was probably the most dog-eared spelling book in school. And I would be frustrated because I was set with my mother, and she would work so hard with me to spell, know my spelling list, and I was just struggling so hard. And then I'd go to school, and I'd get my paper back, and it would have all these red marks, and I would just literally so cry. I would just be so distraught. And I didn't learn until I was in my late 30s and going to college, and a wonderful teacher said, "Atira, I think you're dyslexic. Let's have you tested," and found out I was dyslexic. And so for, you know, 30 years, I struggled with this. I went to summer schools, everything. It became very traumatic. And so I think for kids who have learning disabilities, and if you have one of those kids that's dyslexic or different things, try some other tools. Try even communicating with a teacher. I'm okay with you teaching her and working with the that there's, you know, you have to learn how to spell. You have to learn coping mechanisms. But also, there's got to be ways of giving them attaboys or attagirls for things they do get right. You know, it's just the least bit of encouragement will make these kids just turn around. And also, I think kids have select hearing. I know that I think we all have select hearing. I go through times where, like, I don't want to hear it, so I'm not going to hear it because I want it my way. And so learn to do or, you know, talk about when you're getting things right, when you're getting things wrong, where the gray area is. And I think dads, I really want to talk about dads for a minute because I got focused on the moms. But, you know, dads have a hard time, I think, knowing what to do sometimes. I think dads have been so ingrained in being the breadwinners, going through all of the things that they have to do to bring in the money to give those kids those computers and iPods and Game Boys and all the things. I think sometimes if you've had a bad childhood, we get so we overcompensate, and unfortunately we tend to give our kids everything we didn't have, or we want them to have everything. I have a wonderful friend whose little grandchild is 6 years old, and he has a TV in his room, and he has, you know, like all these Game Boys and everything. And she says, what is he, you know, how is he going to learn that other kids may be less fortunate? And how is he going to not, you know, figure out that he's so wealthy, he's so rich, he's got so much? And so she's taken it under her duty to kind of help him understand that this is not the norm, that not everybody's as lucky as he is, and to appreciate those things. I think sometimes what kids really, truly want the most is time with you, and time with you when you have decompressed. Because I think it's important sometimes to hang on to the kids when dad or mom or whoever first comes home and they're trying to decompress a little bit. Let them have 5 or 10 minutes to decompress, but to realize that they have to listen to those kids, because the first thing the kid wants to do is tell you what was great about their day. They don't get that you had a bad day at the cosmic office and you're cranky. So take the time to have spiritual time. Make some rules maybe that, you know, everybody takes 5 minutes and you breathe and you just, you know, maybe move your arms and do, you know, do a silly dance and shake off the day, and then you share. Or you make a time when you're at the table and not in front of the TV, I hope, and share things. And just take the time to let your spirit breathe, move, and appreciate, and love each other, because the most important thing is the love we share with each other and how we take it through our day, our world, and our universe. Because guess what? That's what you're going to take with you, those memories of the love and the time that you had with each other, and those giggles, and the time of blowing bubbles, and the excitement of being childlike. And I think we're children are a gift to us to not take ourselves so seriously. So today's show, I hope I've taken the time and the energy to be able to share with you some books that will help you teach to your children and yourself to be childlike and enjoy life in every moment, to heal yourself and to heal those around you. It's been a joy sharing this time with you and sharing some mini readings. And I hope that you will take the time to check out the websites for the Young Persons School of Magic and Mysteries at www.dragonhawkpublishing.com. Tell them that you heard about it from Atira. And check out also James Van Praagh's book, Looking Beyond, A Teenage Guide to Spiritual World. I unfortunately don't think I have a website. Yes, he does have. www.vanprog.com. So check him out. Also, tell him you heard about it from Atira, because I think they need to know who's supporting their work. They work very hard to help bring us wonderful, enlightening books. Thank you, Don, for all your hard work in the control room at bbsradio.com. Please check out bbsradio.com. There's lots of wonderful shows on this radio station. We want to keep it up and running, because, you know, the more spiritually educated we become, the more we can change our world and the world around us. So until next week, Remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others, and stay wrapped in the wings of your angels. Lots of blessings.